Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
31, single, jorts enthusiast, unbothered, over on this side. As you can look at the scenic, beautiful Arizona. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., we're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And we got some fun ones today. We're looking forward to talking to our friend Kimberly Martin, ESPN NFL reporter, who also co-hosts First Take, Her Take with Janae Agumake. We get to talk to Mark Kestisher as we look forward to some NBA basketball tonight. We take you up to Hawks Wizards at 6:30 Eastern here on ESPN Radio. And we might get to talk to old classmate Skylar Diggins, WNBA superstar, former Notre Dame Fighting Irish standout, going to be joining us later on in the show, as will Janae Agumake, as we know, getting ready, game week for the Sparks, big day coming up tomorrow with the release of 144, and Janae Agumake off conquering the world in the 4 o'clock hour, and so you guys get to hang out with me, and if you have watched this week, I have been doing this show remote from Arizona, been hanging out here enjoying the sunshine, and I have looked like progressively every day, I am sinking further and further into the chair for anyone watching on ESPN Plus right now. I am going to be doing this show fully horizontally by the time we get to Friday. I might just do it from a pool by that point. I'm not really sure how this is going to work out. I have treated every day at some point or another during the course of the day, I have made a comment asking people about what we're doing on the weekend as if today was already there. So I have no sense of day or time right now, which is very akin to what we've dealt with during the pandemic this last year. But we have finally found due north, because it took a while this season in the NBA to be able to find our North Star, to be able to get back to something that felt relatively normal. And it happened at the expense of the New York Knicks. Now, I feel terrible saying this because I love our producer, Shannon. He's a diehard Knicks fan. And we get on our call as we get ready for the show every day around here. And we knew going into last night, yeah, LeBron James not back in a uniform for the Lakers. He's going to make his return against the Houston Rockets coming up later tonight. But no LeBron against the Knicks last night. And they get an overtime thriller. And the Lakers, with Anthony Davis dragging Taylor Horton Tucker and the rest of that cast to the finish line, get a big win against the Knicks. That puts the Knicks in a complicated playoff picture. But Shannon, our producer, comes on and I think spoke for a lot of Knicks fans when he said, I forgot what it's like to expect something of a team and be disappointed at the outcome. Like, Shannon, I don't know if your mic's open right now, but I don't want to just slander the Knicks and not give you a chance to speak on it in this situation. But I think that what we saw last night and what we learned about the Lakers, I think can be really compelling, because especially with what we're getting ready to deal with tonight, not only LeBron James coming back, but Anthony Davis coming up a little bit lame during the end of that game. We've got plenty to get into the Lakers, but Shannon, I think this is healthy for the New York Knicks. I think that what we saw on this road stretch, they go 3-3 on this West Coast road trip. They got a couple losses to marquee teams. They beat the Clippers, but this loss to the Lakers was a reminder of where the Knicks really sit in the hierarchy as we go toward the postseason. And so all these lofty expectations are just going to ruin what's been a great season. So Shannon, where are you at on that? How do you feel about this as you look from the Knicks fan perspective?
Mike, I don't know how I'm supposed to feel today. Like, I thought I would be over it by now. I thought I would have this figured out. You know, the game, I stayed up way too late watching this game. It went to overtime. I had expectations. Like, yes, the Knicks are going to sweep the Lakers and the Clippers on this road swing. We're going to come back. We're doing it. And just to fall short. I don't know how to feel. I'm kind of hurting today. But to spin it to a positive, like you said, at least there's expectations now for this team. And those are expectations that we haven't had, realistic expectations, for about a decade. So Knicks haven't made the playoffs since 2013. So, you know, they still haven't clinched the playoff spot, or they've clinched the play-in. So we still have a ways to go, but it's an interesting spot to feel right now, just being honest with you.
It is an interesting spot. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And with that, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Because Shannon is right. The Knicks are in a very interesting spot, but their best days are ahead of them still. What we saw, Julius Randle fighting hard in that game, Derrick Rose looking every bit like the veteran on that roster with the experience in these kinds of situations. Because what you saw, I think, was a team in the Lakers side that has some championship metal built into other places in that roster that have been around some of these big games. And when those moments came up, they had guys that were able to push through. We hear all the time this difference about playoff basketball. Tom Thibodeau and the rest of this Knicks staff and roster talked about at times in key moments of this game being a little overwhelmed by what had happened. And so I think this is a healthy reminder of where the Knicks are truly this season. But where are the Lakers heading into their matchup against the Houston Rockets tonight? Because we know we're expecting LeBron James to come back after missing, I believe, the last five games, recovering from re-aggravating a bit of that ankle injury that had kept him out for so long. With the Lakers, what the plan has to be now, because Anthony Davis last night said he's got a little bit of a groin injury. It's nothing too bad. He talked about even fighting through potentially to try and get some minutes on the court with LeBron tonight, play as a part of this game against Houston because they've got the day off after that. That is ridiculous. Anthony Davis should not play in this game tonight. I know the Lakers are on the precipice right now of maybe being able to get themselves out of the play-in tournament. I think they would have to win the remaining games. You would need Portland and the Mavericks to give them some help. I think go 1-2 down the stretch or something in that range. Health is the overwhelming priority. LeBron James and Anthony Davis know how to play together, know what they're going to do on the court. It's about the rest of this Lakers team and what we've seen. They have been making chicken salad out of chicken bleep for a while. And to do it last night in a game that was going to be that physically contested, like, they made the right move leaving LeBron out of that because we saw what a dogfight that was at certain times. And Anthony Davis, Lakers star forward, was talking about his team and the desperation that this team has brought to the court with them lately.
We know the position we're in, and we're playing desperate. We're fighting. We're playing hard. You know, that's all we can do. You know, guys have been in and out of the lineup all year. You know, Dennis, myself, Bron, you know, Kenny, Kuz, like everyone has been in and out of that lineup. So we always had a next man up mindset, and everybody's playing well. You know, we're excited about our group, especially when everyone come back and get healthy. You know, then we'll figure it out from there.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. And that's just it. We'll get healthy and figure it out from there. The Lakers are checking boxes right now towards the end of the season. The number one box and the number one priority is health. Can we get everyone out there on these playoff games in the playoff court when it matters? That's the number one box. They have not checked that completely. We'll see what LeBron James looks like tonight. But right below that is, can we get Anthony Davis, some semblance of the Anthony Davis that we got last postseason in the bubble? And that guy, going back to the Portland game, has showed up and showed out. And even last night, while it wasn't reflected in the point total, a less efficient night from Anthony Davis overall, that was still in this stretch, looked like the guy, looked like the mismatch, looked like the unicorn. And so you just want to make sure he's going in as healthy as possible. You've seen him when we were getting ready. So when I was training for the combine, when I was training and getting ready for my pro day at Notre Dame, there was this idea that we talked about. After you spend all this time training for 40s, getting ready for this, and you're trying to give max effort in that spot, and once you bank enough training in, then you start to tailor it down, and you want to start to slowly build and toward that day. And the training crew brings this great detailed plan to you about how to get ready for the pro day based on everything they've learned. And the one thing they said is when you get up about a day or two before, you want to touch about 90%. You want to get close, but not open it up all the way. You want to leave something in the tank. That's where the Lakers are at this point in the season. That's what this season point in the season has always represented for veteran teams like the Lakers. Get to about 90%, see that you've got some in the tank and feel like you've left some out there, and that's exactly what Anthony Davis has done. So you check that box in a major way for the Lakers. You go out and see LeBron James just look healthy tonight against a Houston Rockets team that's been hapless all year long, and their remaining schedule appears set up for them to do just this. So for the Knicks on one side of the matchup we saw last night, don't worry about it. This is a good learning moment. That was playoff intensity, despite the fact that the Lakers were clearly shorthanded in a lot of key ways. That was playoff intensity for a team that saw, all right, we need a little bit more of this to us as we get ready to do the real thing. All valuable experience. Julius Randle looked incredible. Him and Derrick Rose looked exhausted out there trying to drag this team to the finish line. But for the Lakers, you have seen enough of the rest of this roster getting creative. You've seen Kyle Kuzma be what this team needs him to be at many different points of the season. You've seen role players like Taylor Horton Tucker become more well-known household names than they have any right to do. And now the last thing you need to check off tonight is LeBron. He needs to come through this game without wincing, without having to go to the sideline earlier than expected or leave the game early. And you can consider this final stretch of the season an overwhelming success for this team. But in that time, what should we expect from LeBron James as we head towards tonight? Why his return and the return of another marquee superstar in the NBA have very interesting dynamics. Why the LeBron effect going to be felt much bigger and much stronger than anything James Harden will do down the stretch of the season. Next, here on Chenango Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Today and Golden Jr., the podcast.
And Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're taking you guys up to coverage of the NBA on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight. The Hawks host the Wizards, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 6:30 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations. Mike Golick Jr. here, Janae Agumake going to join us at the top of the 5 o'clock hour, as she does now, just out of training camp, getting ready for game week with the LA Sparks. But we mentioned our show's going up to 6:30 tonight. We got a great matchup in the NBA, the Wizards and the Hawks, and one of the great voices you will hear as a part of that call is our very own Mark Kestcher, ESPN Radio play-by-play announcer. He's kind enough to join us on the Goodyear hotline right now. Kesty, how we doing?
Junior, good to talk to you. I feel bad. I'm just crunching numbers and memorizing names, and the better half is practicing for WNBA season. I feel wrong about that.
I feel badly, Mark, when we bring guests in right now, because I know they're expecting Chenae and all her greatness here, and you're left with me sitting here in a chair slumped over right now.
Well, here's the good news for us. I don't know if it's good news for you, but since you left the state of Connecticut, I believe it's 72 and sunny now for like the next 10 days. So take your time out there, man. Take your time.
Kesty, you don't got to tell me twice. There may be a real shot. I am never coming back. So this can work out well for everyone involved here as Mark Kestcher joins us on the Goodyear hotline. So, Kesty, we know you're going to be on the call for Wizards and Hawks, and we want to get to that game with you soon. But we know one of the other big storylines going into tonight is LeBron James making his return for the Lakers against the Houston Rockets. From what you've seen in the Lakers this season, what should the expectation be as far as LeBron and usage down this stretch of the season?
Well, usage-wise, you have a feeling Frank Vogel's going to, obviously ramp it up very slowly. For me, there was so much, I don't know if excitement's the right word, but just, to get LeBron back for a stretch run a few weeks ago. Remember when he came back and had to go out? And so I kind of temper the enthusiasm a little bit. Obviously, you got to get into some kind of rhythm. They may have to play in the play-in round and that's an extra game or maybe two, before a first-round series. But if they can climb out of this play-in tournament hole, if you will, quote-unquote, and end up in the top six, now you're looking at 5 or 6 days off after the end of the regular season before the start of the first round. So, my expectation, and certainly Frank Vogel and Lakers Nation, is going to be let's not have any pain in that ankle. Let's, get a semblance of, a team and some flow, because everything starts with LeBron, the ball handler. And obviously, watching the end of last night and seeing Anthony Davis being a little bit gimpy at the end certainly kind of takes you back. Like, you feel like you're back at square one. So I think at this point, you're just hoping that you get good reports after each game. And, if it's only 20 minutes tonight, and then you ramp it up 5 or 6 more after that. But just to get some kind of flow so that first game, whether it's the postseason or the play-in, you don't feel like you're starting from scratch.
And we've got that for LeBron. We've got that for James Harden, who's getting ready to come back after that setback with his hamstring. As you look at both of these stars, Kesty, coming back for their respective teams, which do you think is going to go further in influencing the NBA postseason overall? James Harden's return or LeBron James?
I feel it's going to be LeBron for many of the reasons we talked about. I don't know if we're getting 100% Anthony Davis this year. I mean, we rarely saw it at all this season, and he was so important to what they did last year in the bubble with LeBron on the way to the championship. And what we've seen from the Nets, even though we haven't seen the three guys together, but for 6.5 games this year, is, you can live with one guy out and two guys on. And Harden was playing at an MVP level before he got hurt. So, that's not to minimize what he means to Brooklyn. But if Kevin Durant is, where he just rolls out of bed and can give you 25 points, and Kyrie Irving, can come up clutch and do what he does, to me, it feels that in answering that question very long-windedly would be, I think LeBron, even more so than James Harden. But both of them, I guess, came back a little too soon, it sounded like, because then they had absences right after. So to me, you know, they've been both coaches, both Steve Nash and Frank Vogel, and it probably goes back to the training staff and the doctors, they have gone on the other side of caution to make sure that these guys are ready when they come back. And all you can hope for is that it didn't cost you, you know, getting the ball rolling. And with saying all that, there's still a part of me, you know, that feels if both sides, Lakers and Nets, you know, are at full health and, you know, can get a decent draw and get rolling in the first round. Again, the Lakers may have to play in the play-in here, so that would blow it out of the water. You know, couldn't you still see both these teams making incredibly long journeys, and then we look back and say, why did we worry about all that stuff?
It's amazing how much we could overthink at certain times. As we're talking to Mark Kestenscher here on the Goodyear Hotline, Chinnan Golick Jr., Mike Golick Jr. with you guys, taking you up to that 6:30 p.m. Eastern coverage of Hawks and Wizards that Kesty's going to be on the call for. And Mark, looking at that game, we know Russell Westbrook coming off of a record-setting performance. He overtakes Oscar Robertson for the NBA's all-time leader in triple-doubles. This young Hawks team is looking hot right now, heading into the postseason. What do you have your eye on most heading into this matchup tonight?
Yeah, you know, look, the Wizards, I don't think they're going to have Bradley Beal again. That's been the word, that he's not going to play this second straight game. We'll talk to Scott Brooks coming up in about an hour or so, just confirm all that. But what we saw on Monday night when Westbrook set the record is, you know, this is a Wizards team that nobody wants to face. I know they're a 10 seed and they're five games below 500, but when Beal is healthy and Westbrook, and they've got some really good guys, who have held, you know, young guys like Rui Hachimura, and, you know, adding a guy like Davis Bertans, who had played in San Antonio. You know, they have guys, and Robin Lopez has been around, you know, that can give teams at the top of the East trouble. And for Atlanta, that 4-5-6 right now, it's a three-way tie thanks to the Knicks' loss to the Lakers last night. And you don't want to be the sixth seed because you're going to have a very tough first-round match if you're the sixth. So you'd rather sit in that 4-5. Atlanta has a chance to clinch tonight, postseason berth. If they clinch their division, that's a huge tiebreaker. If you end up with a three-way tie at the end, Nate McMillan has done a tremendous job taking over for Lloyd Pierce. And, you know, that's a team that is young. They did bring in some parts as well, but it's great to see Trae Young playing as well as he has. John Collins is playing back at a level. I mean, they have, if you look at Clint Capella, who, you know, they got in the trade from Houston last year. They've got Capella as a roller. They really have two guys who can roll to the basket hard. They've got three-point snipers all over the floor. And then you get Trae Young, the great playmaker. I mean, this is a team we've been waiting for on the come. And finally, we've seen it the last couple of months. And, you know, I'm looking forward to getting a look at two teams that we don't normally get to call on ESPN Radio and who could be factors in the early stages of the postseason.
I'm with you. It's been really exciting seeing the turnaround for this Hawks team during the season. Like you said, going to be exciting to watch. That Eastern Conference playoff scene has gotten mighty crowded after last night. That's what you can look forward to. Check him out as a part of the call. Mark Kestenscher, our ESPN Radio play-by-play announcer, going to be on that call tonight. We appreciate you, Kesty. We'll talk to you soon.
Good catching up with you. Let's talk again soon.
Absolutely. Like I say, hopefully as the weather stays great for all of us involved. Remember, that game starts Hawks and Wizards 6:30 Eastern, presented by Indeed. Coverage starting here on most ESPN radio stations. But coming up next, you know what time it is. The NFL gave us a little hit of the good stuff. A slow drip of the schedule release coming out. And what if I told you we are going to start right away with the two biggest storylines of the season as we get going for the entire NFL calendar? We'll get to that next after this word from 303 Products. Now, are you looking for professional level protection for your car's paint, but without the cost you'd pay a professional detailer? Well, new revolutionary 303 Graphene Nano Spray Coating provides just that. 12 months of protection with a simple mode of application. You can do it yourself in no time. It leaves your car's finish with insane levels of shine and depth. Plus, the water beading is crazy. Your car's never going to look better. It also helps keep your car looking that way longer, too, with a layer of protection that helps repel dust and fights off water spotting, and does so by making that water shed quickly from the surface and lowering the surface temperature so that water doesn't end up drying on the paint. It's also great to use on your car's glass, the wheels, the trim, all the above. Now it's available at Advanced Auto Parts and Pep Boys locations nationwide, or you can learn more by visiting 303radio.com. Release the schedule next on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Mike Golic Jr. with you guys, and you got to hand it to the NFL, man. They have done an incredible job of just stringing this along to one big year-long product. And I know we've talked about this a lot in the past, about the NFL becoming year-round, the combine and the draft being big events. But, like, realistically, it's never been off-season-wise until recently, now that these quarterbacks have decided to take their angst to the streets. It's never been able to match the NBA's level of juice, of the drama, of where certain free agents will end up, guys recruiting each other at All-Star Weekend and making those super teams come together in the summer. Like, we've just never had that over on the NFL side of things. Now, quarterbacks starting to move the needle a little bit more, players speaking a little more candidly in public, all of these things have kind of started to get us closer. But the one thing that the NFL does incredibly well is time and pace. They understand you don't got to give us a lot right now, because we're nearing that point in the calendar year where we got through the draft. We didn't have the combine this year, but we've had enough of the big events. But we're still getting to the summer where you start to really miss football. When the season gets over, we're all tired. We all need a break. Now they know if they just give us a little bit of the good stuff, we're going to be ramped up and ready to go. And when you look at the schedule release, now we got the week one full slate of games that's come out here, been made available. The full schedule release going to be coming up soon. You're seeing teams start to take to social media, have some fun with their schedule releases. And we go and we look at week one now, and we have got ourselves a slate. And it runs the gamut. Like, they're not all great. They're not all winners in here, but they're compelling. And it starts Thursday Night Football, September 9th. Dallas Cowboys at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tampa opening as 6-point favorites. The defending Super Bowl champions going up against Dak Prescott, coming off not only a season he missed with a horrific ankle injury, but after freshly signing that new contract. Like, that's how you do it. You get us talking about that right now. The fact that we get lines already and can look at all this and start to talk and wonder about, all right, what is that going to look like coming off that injury? Is that not going to matter if the Cowboys defense is still a sieve right now and that Tampa Bay offense shreds it the way it looked at the end of last season as they return all their starters from the Super Bowl team? It is rich and it is compelling. And so you look on and on down that list, the things that I start to see and prioritize, first and foremost, when players are looking at the schedule, none of this matters to them. They are trying to figure out when they play in prime time and when the bye weeks are. And especially now in a season with 17 regular season games, as we know, is coming up, that is going to be a reality in addition to the extended postseason, those rest times are probably going to matter even more than usual. But for us, we get to gawk at some of the other stuff. And all of our thoughts are going to be on what happens with the rookie quarterbacks week one. Look no further than Sunday Night Football, Chicago Bears at Los Angeles Rams. I have a feeling that's going to be where we get our first look at Justin Fields. I don't think this is going to take long for him to be the guy in Chicago. I don't think it should for those jobs. And so as we build out headlines for week one, those are probably the ones that are going to stick out the most. Primetime games, young quarterbacks, old quarterbacks, and a quarterback coming off a big payday and an injury. For the rest in between, we had to get a little bit creative. And so we decided to give out some superlatives for the NFL's week one schedule release. Because why the hell not? Cliff, hit the music. All right, it feels good. Feels good, guys. And why don't we start, as we hand out superlatives, with the game that we just mentioned. Most likely to rate and rate well is that opening night matchup. It usually always is, but you've got Tom Brady, the defending Super Bowl champion, that has now built Tampa Bay into bona fide box office, and the Dallas Cowboys, which we know are just a traveling circus altogether. But now we're going to get to see Dak Prescott back on the field. He got what we all think he deserved. And now we get to see if the rest of this team is up to the task, because we've seen the rest of that roster has struggled a little bit. Moving on. Most likely to be browsing Zillow in London. That superlative belongs to Jacksonville at Houston in week one. The Jags, who have enjoyed an onslaught of suspect headlines thanks to their head coach Urban Meyer, going out and drafting running backs in the first round, hiring a strength coach he shouldn't, and signing Tim Tebow reportedly to play tight end for that team. Houston, we know, has a cavalcade of problems on the other side of that. This is a game that's likely going to be two teams picking in the top five again next year in the NFL draft. And we know the ones that they've been trying to give away to London for years as the NFL looks to expand its dominance. most likely to full-on revenge game? Yes, thank God, the grunts are back. The New York Jets at the Carolina Panthers. Sam Darnold, seeing ghosts, now gets to go and see if he can administer some of that pain back to his old team. And you've heard it from Sam, feeling like he's wanted down here, feeling supported, and clearly feeling slighted about the way things ended in New York. I had to throw this one in there because I love a good revenge game, and Sam Darnold is going to provide us with a lot of fodder in that. Zach Wilson, I think, already came out and gave the quote that he's married to the game, and so we have hit our quota early of weird sports cliches in a matchup of two teams that are still going to likely struggle. Most likely to roll damn tie, Dolphins at Patriots. In week one, Tua Tagovailoa going into year two as a starter. And what I pray to God is Mac Jones. We talked to Dan Orlovsky, our ESPN NFL analyst. He thinks all five rookie quarterbacks drafted in the first round should be starting in week one for their teams. And I completely agree. I want to see this out here mostly because of the takes. Tua Tagovailoa, who was the starter. Mac Jones, who stepped in after his horrific injury. Obviously went on last year to have one of the most historic, prolific college football seasons in offensive history. And now we get the two of them together in a division game that's always weird. The Dolphins-Patriots games themselves have enough weird baked in. And finally, most likely to have a different quarterback next year. Broncos at Giants in week one. These are two teams. I still don't understand how the Broncos let Justin Fields get past them here, going all in on Drew Locke, their former second-round pick, in an offense that seems to have everything else answered for the most part. And the New York Giants, who are in a make-or-break, do-or-die year, I think, with Daniel Jones. They went out and got him a mess of offensive weapons. Kyle Rudolph, Kadarius Toney in the draft. They have got a group up front offensive skill-wise that's going to help their young quarterback. I don't know if they gave him much of a line, but this seems like the year where we are going to be judge and jury for Daniel Jones' NFL future and for Dave Gettleman's NFL future. At Chinay, at Mike Golic Jr., if you got any other superlatives to give out for week one of the NFL, 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. If you've got a reaction to your team's schedule as we look forward toward the 2021 season in May. God bless this league. But coming up next, the Browns continue to go out and make it abundantly clear who their quarterback is for 2021. Is that the right move, given what we know could potentially move and change this offseason? We'll get to that next. Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and we're brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear. More driven. Mike Golic Jr. getting ready to be united with my better half. Today, Agwumike will be here in about 10 minutes. And excited to sit and kind of vamp with her about what we saw from Los Angeles last night. What do we learn about the Lakers and Knicks? And who do we learn more about? Plenty of great stuff from Chinay on that in just a minute. We do have some really unfortunate news out of the NBA, though. The Miami Heat actually just tweeted out an update that Victor Oladipo has decided to undergo season-ending surgery on his right quadriceps tendon. The surgery will take place tomorrow in New York. There is no timetable for his return at this time. Really unfortunate news, man. Victor Oladipo, that was part of all of those trades, made the rounds here as James Harden ended up going from Houston to Brooklyn. Victor Oladipo made his way down to Houston for a little bit, wound up in Miami, and just unfortunate news for a guy that, man, when healthy, is so talented. But now as you start to stack up these injuries, especially on the lower body, you just really wonder what the future looks like for a player of that caliber. Now, I say this in the same world where we have Derrick Rose playing really well for the Knicks after what we know was an onslaught of knee injuries for him. So certainly wish all the best to Victor Oladipo. We hope that that recovery and that surgery go really well for him, because he's a guy we know Chinay knows very well, and so certainly going to be a bummer for her, a guy that she has gotten to know really well in the league and a guy that everyone really loves watching play when he's at his best. Chinay and Golic Jr. here, and we've got a new light heavyweight king that'll be crowned at UFC 262 when the rising star Charles Oliveira, who recently beat Tony Ferguson, battles Michael Chandler for the vacant title. Catch UFC 262 on Saturday, May 15th, available exclusively to ESPN Plus subscribers for $69.99. Visit ESPNplus.com/PPV. I thought this was really interesting, and I know we've talked about this before, but you've got another one of these articles coming out right now, this time by Dan Wetzel on Yahoo Sports, talking about the Browns brushing off any sort of Aaron Rodgers trade talk. They've made it abundantly clear Baker Mayfield is their guy. And the question that some people have asked is, should they be doing this? Is this smart business? I tend to think no. On like a big picture perspective, if you've got the opportunity as a team outside of one of the very few Warrior Elite, and we've talked about those teams before, who should not be picking up the phone to go after Aaron Rodgers, and it's a very limited group of teams. Cleveland's not in that group. Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback than Baker Mayfield, full stop. And for the people that say, well, we've got stability. Well, we've got a longer timeline with Baker Mayfield. This is to me like playing prevent defense. You can play not to lose. You can say, we'll take this long timeline. We'll have a bunch of good shots at it. We don't know if we'll get to that same high end point, but we've got hope and we've got time. Or you can play to win. You could swing big when you're the underdog in the fight and try and knock him out right now. Because I guarantee anyone in Cleveland would trade a Super Bowl in the next 2 or 3 years. If you think that's all you're going to get out of Aaron Rodgers left still, they would trade a Super Bowl in the next 2 or 3 years, which you would have a better chance of, regardless, I think, of what you'd have to give up to get Aaron Rodgers. You would take a Super Bowl in the next 2 to 3 years if that meant after that you went back to stinking for the next 10. I think that's something. And at Mike Golic Jr., Browns fans, would you take a Super Bowl in the next 2 to 3 years if you knew it came with going back to being bad, like borderline terrible for the next 10, but you'd get that Super Bowl now, or you can go and risk it. You can roll the dice behind door number 2 with Baker Mayfield. I know there's a lot of loyalty, but man, I'm guaranteeing you a Super Bowl in this, and that feels close to what you'd get with Aaron Rodgers in his current form. I understand what the Browns, in theory, are trying to do here. You know Baker Mayfield is a quarterback, highly emotional guy in sometimes a lot of good ways, and we've seen in sometimes not so good ways. But by having this continuity, by saying we're going to preserve the good thing we've got, if we don't think we can go out and guaranteed get Aaron Rodgers, then we don't want to start fires where we think they needn't be inside our organization. This is one of those spots, though, where I feel like we got to treat people like professionals. But this organization is trying to say, all right, we're really going to prioritize and give our quarterback a great shot because we haven't had a lot of those come around here in recent history. Which is funny when you contrast that with what's going on right now in Minnesota because, man, Kirk Cousins has had an offseason where the message has been sent loud and clear to him, right? Like, there's no worrying about his feelings in the NFC North. You've had Kirk Cousins, who we found and heard reports that the Vikings were prepared, if Justin Fields fell further, to go up and draft him in the first round of the NFL draft. They took Kellen Mond in that spot. And man, then you get Justin Jefferson out here being very honest. I saw him on with Colin Cowherd the other day, and he was asked to compare Kirk Cousins and his former quarterback Joe Burrow, who's now in Cincinnati. Listen to this. He said, quote, Kirk and Joe throw the same balls. Not the strongest arm, but they're going to get it exactly where you need it. The thing about Joe that's a bit different, I feel like Joe is a bit more swagger. He's got that confidence on the field. He's not scared to get hit. And I feel like as a quarterback, that's a big trait to have, especially as young as he is. He's a phenomenal quarterback. He went on to say and was asked about Justin Fields being available in the draft. He asked if he was surprised, and he said, no, we have to build on for after Kirk or whatever the case may be. Having Justin Fields brings a little more pressure to other teams by having a dominant quarterback like he is. Like, damn, Justin Jefferson's a rookie speaking like that. And we know they apparently see Kirk Cousins the way that we all do. Very good quarterback, guy who can do well for you, but not going to be the Super Bowl difference that you expected when you brought him over here, because that was what he was here to do. And so I look at this as, oh, now we're getting some breaking LeBron news up here. Very interesting stuff. LeBron James just tweeted, quote, getting close, but I won't be in the lineup tonight. But more importantly, I will be there to put that all caps championship banner in the rafters at Staples Center in front of our fans. So there you go. Breaking news. LeBron James not in the lineup for the Los Angeles Lakers tonight against the Houston Rockets, where we thought he was going to make his return. So with that news in mind, what does this tell us? Should this be an alarm sounding in Los Angeles as the King not yet ready to return to the lineup? We'll ask Chinne Igwumike next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Chinne and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.